This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Gene Purcell.
It's time for a weekly state news roundup. Our news guy, Noah Ovshinsky, is here. He's WPR's assistant news director. Noah, welcome back, as always.
Good afternoon. It's good to be here. And happy Friday.
And to you, too. Well, let's jump in. We got numbers from the State Department of Health Services related to BadgerCare and the Affordable Care Act rollout. So what did we find out?
So, they released data this week that really looks at how many people made the transition from BadgerCare to private insurance during the Affordable Care Act rollout over the course of the last year.
And this is related to, I think, the fairly unique approach that the Walker administration took to the Affordable Care Act.
Right. So more than a year ago, the Walker administration, in coming up with its plan to implement the Affordable Care Act, decided to change BadgerCare eligibility in a way that expanded coverage to those with a very low income, but at the same time kicked off people who earned a little bit more money. The state hoped that that second group would then buy private insurance on the federal marketplace.
And so this is our first indication, I guess, of how many of the people who were removed from BadgerCare got coverage under the exchanges.
Exactly. And according to these numbers, not many. around 19,000 people of the nearly 63,000 people formerly on BadgerCare apparently have made the transition to private insurance. That's less than a third. Under the exchange. That's less than a third, and actually less than what the Walker administration had initially expected.
And what? Where are these people now? What are we hearing from the DHS?
So DHS officials say that these folks either got insurance through their spouse, obtained employer-sponsored insurance, or decided to be uninsured and therefore subject to the financial penalty that's established under the Affordable Care Act.
But we don't have stats.
We don't. We don't know who went in which direction. Mm-hmm. We just don't have that level of detail, at least at this point.
Senator Tammy Baldwin was on the show yesterday, very critical of the Walker administration. Her take on that is that most of those people are still uncovered. And she and other Democrats and healthcare advocates are saying it was a mistake not to take extra federal funding. What's been the governor's argument for not doing this?
Well, a lot of that criticism came again when the Walker administration came out with their initial proposal. Mm-hmm. Critics at the time basically said, look, you're going to kick off people that may be making a little bit more money, but they're not making enough money to pay for the insurance that you're forcing them to pay for. And so while you were capturing more people at the lower end of the income spectrum, you were still going to kick off a lot of people, and were making a false assumption about how many of those folks were going to move into private insurance. And at least based on these numbers, it turns out not nearly as many of those folks are moving to private insurance as the Walker administration had expected.
The report also pointed to some positive numbers of another category of people getting onto BadgerCare?
Right. So we talked about the Walker administration increasing eligibility for the lower end of the income spectrum here in the state. And that group did sign up in large numbers. These are the folks who were newly eligible. Around 97,000 people signed up for BadgerCare after the eligibility changed. And so the Walker administration sees this as really a huge positive because the number of uninsured has gone down in the state.
So there'll be efforts between now and the next eligibility period, I gather, to try to get more people signed up. Senator Baldwin was encouraging the state to do that, well, and to take federal money. That seems less likely. Ultimately, of course, an election in November. Is this going to be something that the campaigns are talking about, do you think?
Well, I think certainly, the Affordable Care Act is one of the hot button issues in America right now. It's the third rail. And I think probably how you view the ACA, will probably point you in the direction of where you're probably going to vote on in November. It's not a given, certainly, but I think it's one indication. I'm not sure where Walker stands on the ACA is going to attract keep an extra voter from the ballot box. I think you either agree with them or you don't on this issue.
So another issue that's become hot button over the last few years in education, the Common Core curriculum, some news here in Wisconsin this week.
Right. So the governor, in something of a really a surprise, actually, issued a one-sentence statement yesterday. It was only one sentence, saying that he was urging the legislature to repeal the Common Core standards when they convene in January and replace them with what he called, quote, standards set by people in Wisconsin.
Now, he hadn't been an advocate for Common Core before this. This is not a reversal. What is new, though?
Right. So this isn't really a policy change. His office did help craft legislation earlier this year that would have led to the repeal of Common Core. What was largely behind-the-scenes effort, though, before, has really evolved into a very clear statement by the governor, a statement that he made yesterday that he would like to see the Common Core standards repealed.
He's saying, you legislators, give me some legislation to
end and Common I will Core. And I will enthusiastically sign it.
So give us a little history of Common Core in Wisconsin.
So Common Core was adopted actually with very little debate in 2010. Wisconsin is one of around 40 states who have adopted these standards, which basically raise the bare minimum of what is expected of students in any particular grade level. And you know, in many senses, they are more vigorous than some standards which had existed prior to them being adopted. The state has spent something like $20 million adapting its curriculum to these requirements over the course of the last few years. And in fact, the first statewide tests linked to the Common Core standards are scheduled to be held during this upcoming school year. So something very much, you know, ingrained right now in districts around the state.
And this, as you say, there wasn't a lot of controversy at the time. It's definitely leveled up since then.
Yeah, right. So what started out as something relatively uncontroversial has really become very controversial, at least in some circles. The Tea Party wing of the Republican Party does not like Common Core. They see them as really an attempt to nationalize what should be established by individual states and individual districts. So they see it as a sort of an independence issue. You see other Republican governors around the country withdrawing from Common Core. That has happened. And so it's turned out to be a very controversial topic.
And has there been a response from the Mary Burke campaign on the Democratic side?
Yeah. Well, the Burke campaign, as well as several state lawmakers, have said that, you know, this statement by the governor yesterday was largely motivated by election year politics. You know, this is an election year both for the gubernatorial election. And of course, the governor has been talked about possibly running for president one day. And, you know, I think there are folks out there who would look at this and say, who study politics, who are maybe involved in politics, who say, you know, this is an attempt to make sure, you know, every vote that the governor can get in November, he's going to do what he can. And embracing this departure from Common Core is one way to do that.
It might be a rally the base kind of thing.
Exactly. You know, again, if it ensures that one more voter doesn't stay at home in November, you know, it's a win for the governor.
All right, a couple more issues. Big hailstorm this week, turning away from politics for a moment, and an impact on a particular famous Wisconsin crop.
Right. So I don't know if you saw pictures floating around earlier this week, but they were amazing. There were pictures floating around Facebook and Twitter of something like 3.5 inches of hail. If you can imagine,
in Door County,
3.5 inches of hail. And of course, this is very unusual for this time of year. And really, the timing couldn't have been worse for some farmers in the region. As we all know, Door County is well known for its cherry crop. And this just came a week or two before the actual cherry harvest.
So what kind of damage are we seeing?
So according to farmers, at least 20% of Door County's cherry crop was damaged in some way or another. The hail has also affected the county's apple crop as well. UW-Madison's Peninsular Agricultural Research Station actually lost all of its crops. They will take a financial loss. And it's still really unclear what the status of the research now is at that station. But they had essentially a total loss because of the hail.
So what kind of damage are we talking about here?
Well, hail affects fruit in two big ways. First, the fruit itself can be damaged and therefore unsellable, or at least will have to be used perhaps in the cherry juice market, which is a little less profitable for farmers. And the hail can also hurt the trees themselves. If the tree itself is damaged, it can really pave the way for diseases that may affect it later on, even several months from now.
Well, I want to end by looking ahead now. We had a Friday tradition for a while of rulings related to same-sex marriage in Wisconsin. Now we're waiting for the next step. What's coming up?
Right. So some big news today. The ruling that struck down Wisconsin's same-sex marriage ban has been fast-tracked by the appeals court in Chicago. The court will hear arguments on August 13th. So just in a matter of a few weeks here.
Mm-hmm. And we're starting to merge with other states' cases.
Right. Actually, the Court of Appeals merged Wisconsin's case with Indiana. And both states have asked that all 10 active judges preside over the case. It's unclear whether they will actually grant the request. The Seventh Circuit usually uses 3-judge panels to decide cases like this. So kind of an unusual request, and it remains to be seen what happens with that.
The argument being this is a big deal. We want the whole team on board.
Right, exactly. In court documents, Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen has suggested, look, this will be potentially the only time the full court would be able to weigh in on the issue before it inevitably goes on to the Supreme Court.
So what does fast track mean as far as when we might get a ruling?
Well, with the case being fast-tracked, it could, and I emphasize, could mean that a ruling could come down this fall or perhaps a little bit before.
And it could be in the U.S. Supreme Court by next year then, it seems likely.
Exactly.
All right, Noah, thanks as always for joining us.
It was good to be here. Thanks.
That's our news guy, Noah Ovshinsky. He's WPR's assistant news director.
I'm Gene Purcell.
And I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.